Let's pray. Oh Lord, we have come together and we're grateful to remember that we are in a world that has purpose and we have a creator and our creator is alive and our lives are now vitally connected to you. And because of that, the way we see life, where we're headed, the things that give us encouragement when we need to be lifted up, the help that we need when we call out, everything is different for us because of you. And so we're grateful to be your creatures, and more than that, to be your children through Jesus Christ. We pray tonight that you would give us encouragement, faith, strength for our work of prayer. We ask that in the various classes, you would feed your sheep. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we have a brief devotional. We're going to look at Mark 14 and look at Mark 14, the end of look at verse 6 and part of verse 8. So Mark 14, 6 and verse 8. We'll be looking at it this Lord's Day morning. And let's see what it says. The context is Jesus, he's in Bethany, he is, his death is imminent. And while he is there at his friend's house, a woman anoints him with oil. So Mark 14, 6, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me." And then verse 8, "She has done what she could." So this Lord's Day, Lord willing, we will look at Mary anointing Jesus for his death. And we'll also look at Judas betraying Jesus to his death. And in the book of Mark, from this point forward, people increasingly are abandoning Jesus, his people, his followers, his friends, even his father. And more, people also are striking at Jesus from this point forward. They take him down lower and lower. The temple and the community leaders do this, the Roman government, the soldiers, the enemy, the devil. And Jesus does nothing. He takes no motion to stop the betrayal, to stop his suffering, to stop his death. He gives himself over to it willingly. His disciples, his friends, none of them take any steps to help him because they don't believe. They don't understand, even though he's told them plainly what's going to happen. So they've got no support for him, no comfort for him as things just ratchet lower and lower, as his enemies drive him lower and lower. And sometimes, you know, we may feel like we're having one of those kinds of times or one of those seasons in life where everything is going wrong. Everything is getting worse and worse. And it's no exaggeration to say that here, on every single front, Jesus is losing and is going lower. And the process for him is cruel, and it's also excruciating. But in this suffering and this lowering of himself, there are a few people who are outside of the 12, a few people who make, you could call them small but sincere gestures towards Jesus, gestures of support, gestures of love for Jesus. A few people who are not on the inside, they're not insiders, but they show love and loyalty to Jesus as his ship is sinking lower and lower. So, for instance, think of Simon the Cyrene, who bears the cross of Jesus just for a little bit. Or think of Joseph of Arimathea, who he can't stop the crucifixion, but he does ask for the body, and he does provide at least a decent place for him to be buried. And then think here of Mary in this verse, who all she does is anoint his body, Jesus says, with precious oil for his burial. None of those gestures do anything to stop the pain, to prevent his death. But every single one of those little gestures holds significance. And they are little. Verse 8, Jesus says, she's done what she could. You know, it wasn't much, but she did what she could. Verse 6, she has done a good thing. That's how Jesus sees it. Now, do you know what will stand out at the end of your life? What is it that's going to be remembered or will be the significant thing? The significant things at the end of your life. It's likely that it will be the seemingly insignificant things that you did with a heart of devotion and love and worship to Christ. Could be those times when nobody was around, but you prayed in an empty room and exercised faith when you were scared or discouraged. Or it could be the times that you sang by yourself in your car joyfully when you just wanted to thank God for his goodness. No one else heard, no one else saw. Or maybe the times that you listened to a very tedious person for a very long time because you loved them and you wanted them to know that they were loved. The times that you heard something in Scripture, heard something in the preaching, and you knew it was telling you to do something, contact someone. And so you did it. No one else knew about it except God. When you love Jesus, your love will move you to act on it. To speak maybe, or to give something, even something small. And when you love Jesus that way, Jesus sees it. Our small deeds are very big in his sight when they come from a heart of devotion. Why? Why? It's because Jesus did the big thing. And so now our small things have significance through him. All these little sacrifices that we offer, they please God, they're accepted by God, because Jesus offered the greatest sacrifice, the great sacrifice in which all of our little offerings are swallowed up and seen. 1 Peter 2, 5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Your little sacrifices are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. When you look at the suffering and the sacrifice of Jesus and you say, I admire that. He did it well. And I know he did it for me. And I want to imitate that. Well, then you are offering a spiritual sacrifice through Jesus Christ. And you can know that God accepts your sacrifice. He finds you pleasing through Jesus Christ. Amen.